What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Ow! I stepped on a tack.
Ow!
It's the Perry and Gatch Comedy Show.
I hopped on a tack.
Ow!
Hey, today we talk about Raven Top Ramen.
And how to create music.
Binaural beats.
And cooking omelets.
And some Stephen King shit. Yeah. It's Wednesday, hump day. Thanks for listening to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
You did it.
Bye. Fun.
Oh, yeah. Break out your ramen because it's ramen metal time. With Raven Ramen. And the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
Humpa humpa hump day.
With me, I'm Gatch, and...
And I'm Terry.
Blammo.
Raven.
Mm-hmm.
Top Raven. This is one of the Top Raven songs.
They should do some ramen. They should have their own ramen brand.
Raven
that,
Ramen?
Yeah, metalheads would buy that shit up.
People would be raving about the ramen.
Yeah, and then you tie them all the songs to how long it takes to cook ramen. And so, you know, you just start the song when the ramen started cooking.
Yeah, this it takes 3 minutes and 18 seconds to cook ramen, and that's how old the how long this song is.
Yeah.
It's called I Don't Need Your Money, Honey. But yeah, this is old school, I think, 84?
Uh-huh.
83, maybe? Maybe 81. Old shit. These guys are old. Still touring. Playing them because on Monday I said I would. I played some Diamond Head on Monday, and Diamond Head and Raven will be at the Hawthorne Theater this Friday. So you should go. You should
were
go
they an
show.
Early innovator of that squeal? Let me hear a little bit of squeal.
Yeah,
going
they do
on.
A lot of squealing.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yep.
But then the new kids always take everything. They were a big innovator of this. Rich fat daddy trying to change my life and I just want to relax. Ow!
Nah.
I think you stepped on a tack at the end there. I don't know one, no rich fat daddy trying to change my life because I just want to relax. Ow!
You know, he might have had to, like, on a day he wasn't really feeling it, he'd like, you got to put some tacks on the floor because I'll keep time and I'll just step right there when it's needed.
Wow, wow! Oh, man. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do, like, these... I don't know,
I'd
I would
be more like,
do all the
ow,
shit.
Ow, motherfucker, that hurt.
That's attack. And it's like, oh, that sounded like you said attack. That's perfect for metal.
It is.
Attack.
On attack.
In my foot.
Ow, ow, yeah.
What's worse than stepping on attack? Hopping on attack. I hopped on attack once. Fucking,
ow.
Yeah. Buried that fucker. Flush into my heel.
Ooh.
Yeah, it came right out, but it didn't hurt that bad.
Better than if it would have been on, like, a softer spot.
Yeah.
Like the front.
Ow.
The front foot paw.
Oh, ow. I don't like it. Yeah, let's see if he steps on attack this time. Step on attack, John. Oh, he's going. He's fucking going to town right now. He must be rolling around in tacks. Here he goes. Wow.
One final
wow,
tack.
Wow, my tack is back. So, yeah, go see some old school metal with Diamond Head and Raven this weekend. Yeah,
that would be fun.
Also, if that's not your thing, there's a Doom Festival going up, going on up in Portland this week.
Right on.
Thursday through Sunday. I've only been giving you little snippets of what's going to be going
Thur
on.
Thur through Sun.
Thur through Sun. That's right. It's going to be happening at Mississippi Studios on Thursday and Friday, and at the Star Theater, Star Theater on Saturday, and back to Mississippi Studios on Sunday.
So like a
Hawkwind
weekend, hop around to different bars and watch some good Doom bands.
Well, three of the nights are at the same place, but you got to hop over to the Star Theater on Saturday. So
awesome.
Let's see, it's Nick Turner's Hawkwind, which I guess there's two Hawkwinds now, and you got to put someone's name at the beginning, like. Greg Ginn's Black Flag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Billions and Billions, I think that must be a Portland band because I've been hearing about them. Mm. Friday night is Orange Goblin, Holy Grail, Lord Dying, and Laser Wolf.
Hmm.
Awesome name for a band.
But I'm going to the Laser Wolf Planetarium show.
Are you going to the Laser Wolf show?
The Laser Wolf.
It's a wolf show. Saturday's Agolic, which is weird to say.
Agolic?
Botanist. What do they do? Birds?
I think they're plants, right?
I don't know.
Of plant life.
And Eight Bells and Behold the Arctopus. Arctopus. Behold the Arctopus. Sunday, The Skull, Hammers of Misfortune, and Uzala, and a solo set from Mike Scheidt. That will be 8 p.m. at the Mississippi Studios, rounding out the Fall into Darkness Festival, put on by Nathan Carson.
And if you if that's not your gig, go and watch the 3D IMAX of Gravity.
Ah.
Doesn't that look like it'd be badass in 3D IMAX?
I saw a couple people posting and said that it was possibly the best movie they've ever seen.
Dude, it looks like it just fucking, like, it looks like it'd be great in that environment. I don't know if it would hold up on a home screen unless you stood right in front of your TV.
I do that a lot.
I will sometimes.
Just for fun?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just stand in front of there. You're probably playing Tiger Woods when you're doing it, huh?
Yeah. But I stand back as far as I can because I don't want to throw my remote through the television.
You use the strap, though, right? The safety strap?
Yeah.
A safety strap.
I strap it on. I try using that little golf club thing.
Uh-huh.
That thing's fucking stupid.
You didn't like it?
I don't like it. I got a lot more control in my wrist action when it's just tight in my wrist.
Have you tried using the tennis racket?
No, I didn't even know they had them. Do they have them?
Yeah, they got a tennis racket. And I wonder if they got a bowling ball. Maybe you could do a bowling ball because that would allow you to have like a three-finger grip. You'd be able to do the perfect straight swing with a bowling ball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect straight swing, but wouldn't you break shit? Or could it just be a Nerf bowling ball?
It would be weird because it'd be like this big ball on your hand that you had your fingers in, but then it'd be strapped to your wrist, right?
So it wouldn't really go. It goes boing and hits you in the face like a like one of those bop with a ball and the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
What's that called?
Paddle ball.
Bop with the paddle. Paddle ball. Duh. I'm stupid. You'd think that I was more racist than homophobic. Did you know that racism and homophobia are linked to having a lower IQ?
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, you got to be pretty dumb to think that people are different because they have a different color skin or a different sexual orientation.
Or born in a different location.
Yeah. You're born over there. Fuck, I hate you. You're dumb.
Yep.
But I'm dumber than you, really, and I don't know it.
I hate you for something you had no choice in.
Exactly. That's what I say to everybody. I'm Bill Hader.
Yep.
Terry Hader.
Him and his commercials on TV.
Yeah.
The one where he left his cell phone in the dryer.
Be cool if he cut his face. Did he cut his face on one of them when it was all broken?
I'm not sure if he did his finger. Like he shattered it and then slid his finger across it.
And cut his finger up.
Yeah, but the one with the dryer is where it's been running in the dryer and then and it's all plastic stuck to his finger.
Oh, because it's hot?
Burnt, yeah.
Melted, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
I don't know why. It's pretty funny timing-wise because he's all in the living room and he's watching TV and he's laughing and then he hears that clonk, clonk, clonk and it shows his head pop out the side staring down the hall. Kind of funny comedy timing thing.
He is pretty funny in comedy.
He is.
Comedic. I wonder if he's still writing for South Park. Must be, I would think.
Certainly.
I was
not, if he wanted to.
I didn't just not overly impressed yet by the first two episodes of South Park.
No. What was the second one about?
We talked a little bit about it. The murder porn on the...
That's right.
Yeah. Killing your wife.
Do you know how to dress a horse or whatever?
Yeah.
Disarm a horse?
You ever ridden a horse? So For some reason, we can't get our murder porn. It's very educational to us. It was kind of funny, but it just wasn't. It wasn't as over the top. Maybe they're ramping
it's
up.
Not topical enough for me.
Yeah.
But I guess if I was in the situation where that murder porn was, I watched it. I don't watch that murder porn. I'll watch those shows on the gangsters.
Oh yeah.
Like on Bio or whatever, where they America's gangsters.
Yeah.
And watch how people go down.
You ever watch that movie, American Gangster, with Denzel Washington?
No.
It's pretty good. It's a long movie, but it was good enough to where it kept my attention. I watched it. It's at least 2.5 hours.
I own it.
Oh.
You never, watched it? I think I own it on HD DVD.
Whoa.
I don't think I can watch it.
I actually stacked up 3 DVDs of yours that I have that I've been meaning to bring back, but I didn't bring them back yet.
Which ones are they?
That Bonsai something.
Oh, yeah. Buckaroo Bonsai.
Didn't watch that one, sorry.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I watched Blood Simple, bring that one back. And
Intolerable Cruelty.
Mega Piranha. Watched a tiny bit of that, and I was like, yeah. Meh.
It had Tiffany in it.
Yeah, and Greg Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Williams.
Yep. I wonder what Tiffany's last name is.
Gibson.
I wonder if she's tired of hearing that joke anytime anybody has breakfast at her house.
That was a pretty racy movie for back then, wasn't it?
I think so.
Did you ever see it?
It was a pretty lame song, too, that when it came out in the 90s.
There was a song for breakfast at Tiffany's?
It was a lame-ass song.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
You don't want to.
So, how do you think that anybody...
I've never seen the movie, so I don't know what you mean by racy for the time. What was racy about it?
I don't know either. I just remember from Seinfeld that George Costanza was freaking out about it a little bit.
Oh, and, okay.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Because it's an older from the 60s movie, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might even be black and white.
So why would a song come out in the 90s about it? What are you talking about, bro?
It was some fucking stupid goddamn... I don't even want to know the band... One of those flash-in-the-pans 80s kind of, or 90s.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Kind of band. And then they had one song that was kind of, this is Breakfast at Tiffany's, and she said,
beep, 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 beep. Oh, I totally know that song.
Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's Red Herring and the Fat Fish.
It is, dude, I swear, there's a red in the name.
I know, Red Luft Balloons.
Uh-huh. I'm going to look it up now.
So the reason I'm asking, you know, you're talking about this lame song from the 90s. What I wanted to ask if I didn't get a chance to was, do you think there's actually a way to scientifically prove that a song is more catchy than another?
Certainly, because music is all mathematics.
So how do you scientifically prove it?
Well, this is formula,
but
right?
How do you prove that it's catchy by science?
If it's formulaic, if it follows a formula. I mean, they got stuff that... dude, they do some crazy stuff with music, like measure the distance with stars, right? How far stars are away, and then assign notes to them, and then have it play a song.
Really?
Yeah. They do some crazy stuff. I might look up that list.
Well, the reason I wanted to know is because I don't really... can't... get my brain around it of how you could actually scientifically prove if one song is more catchy than another. Because I thought catchyism was probably in the ear of the behearer,
mm-hmm.
or whatever you want to call it. But this here, this thing that I'm reading on the internet says, and maybe I'm going to let you guess, there was a song that was scientifically proven to be the catchiest song in the history of pop music. And I would not have thought of this. It's actually the second half of a two-part song that is almost always played together on classic rock radio. Staple.
Then you're going to go with...
The singer's dead, and he was gay. That's all the hints you get.
Oh, man, that totally turns everything on its end. Now I'm overwhelmed with too much knowledge.
Dead gay guy.
Dead gay guy.
Second
okay,
song.
Now you're talking about
second,
Queen.
Yep.
And you're talking about Bohemian Rhapsody?
Nope, the second song
the
of a
song.
two second song.
We Are the Champions.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I can believe it.
Now, is it lyrically catchy? Just the whole component is the catchiest thing ever. You know, okay, well, so what's the, it's like a, is it a three chord song? We Are the...
Oh, no. It's okay. Got a bunch of minor and major chords in it. But I don't even see, there's no, I don't know. I mean, you could do, I don't know. Just saying you could do it scientifically, but I don't know.
And I think you could.
And it says in the history of pop music, which I guess rock can be in pop.
I don't know if it'd be personally. I'm burnt on that song.
Oh yeah, I'll always skip it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say "We Will Rock You" is catchier.
The Banana Man. Well, you know, I will go out on a limb and say, what's even more catchier is. Well, even more catchier than that is Rocky Like a Hurricane.
Really?
And then, but even more catchier than both is another one bites dust. Boom, boom, boom. Another one bites dust. And one
Flames walk further down the street with his broom pulled way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his meow.
Did you have any, have you been dealing with any dickhead drivers?
Nope. Actually, I've been off the roads. I haven't been driving. I mean, I drove here today, but to be honest, I don't even remember driving over here. That's fucking weird because I just tried to. Did I take the freeway? Did I go a 7 mile lane? Was what?
You went through Lebanon and everything.
Fuck, man, that's some good weed.
Badass weed.
Yeah, Trailer Park Boys. Thing where they said, what's your favorite strain of weed? Green crack was on the list several times. That's what we're smoking today is the green crack.
It's green crack.
It's infiltrating the whole areas of all peoples.
Huh.
You don't got no jock talk? You didn't have no jock talk on.
Oh, I got some jock talk.
You got jock talk?
Yep. Well, this one was supposed to be for Monday because now it's not a prediction.
Well, what happened then?
Who do you think would win in a race? A falcon or a jet?
No, wait. Did you forget to do it on Monday or what happened?
No, I just overlooked it a few times. Who would win in a race, a falcon or a jet?
I would say that a jet would win.
All right. Then you pick the jets to win on Monday night. That's all I had for Jock Talk.
Really?
Oh, did you just now get the intro up?
Yeah.
Okay, I got another one.
Okay. Here we go.
Hey.
Welcome to Jock Talk.
Jock Talk.
With Cock Jockerson.
Hey, I'm Cock Jockerson, and Oregon is number 2 in the country. 5-0. Woo-hoo.
So who would win in a fight between a duck and a beaver?
A duck, man. Those things are vicious.
What if he slapped him with his tail? Wappo!
Man, that would be tough, but I bet the duck man would just keep attacking. He's got the wingspan on him. He's just got a bigger wingspan.
All right, this has been Jock Talk. Jock Dockerson. Cock Block. Cock Blockerson. Jock Knockerson. I'm Scott Aukerman. Oh, shit. Shut up.
All right, I got a few things here. I found that list of music things that they create. There's now an iPhone app. Do you have an iPhone?
No, I do not.
I don't either.
I have an Android.
I have a Windows phone.
Okay.
All right. There's a new iPhone app. It takes the image from a phone camera recorder and uses the data from the various shades of light and translates it into sound.
Is that binaural beats?
Brighter images give brighter sounds and darker images give darker sounds. Turning any environment into a dreamlike and atmospheric soundscape.
Fucking isn't that weird? That is weird.
Okay, and here's another one. Some guy had a background in classical composition and now uses his skills in a research group. He samples data from an observatory of the solar heliospheric. It's a spacecraft used to measure and predict solar flares. and he uses that data to make choir vocals and epic drum beats.
Weird.
That make you feel adventurous, as if you were traveling through space. The wow. drums are partially based on a sped-up version of a 26-day rotation of the sun.
Dude, I can't close my mouth. I'm just like, what?
All right, and here's a guy who has basically, it's a sonification.
Okay.
It is a vise, like a vise with a rotating clamp and a distance measuring laser. So you got a laser spinning around that measures distance.
Right.
So you could put any object into the clamp and spin it, and the laser reads the distance of the surfaces.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much reading the object.
Right.
And it creates sounds. From there, he gives the different frequencies musical instruments.
Huh.
And so you can make good compositions just by putting a shoe or a shampoo bottle in front of these lasers and spinning it around.
Fucking weird.
Yep.
So does it have a name for the what they call this?
These are just examples of weird sound, weird creations of sound.
But they don't have a name for that one with the laser that makes.
Oh, it's music through sonification.
Sonification.
And he's using a computer for it. And here's one which takes plant data. They measure photosynthesis through temperature, moisture, humidity, and light levels over a 24-hour period. Then they compose the data into electronic sounds, songs, which shows how each state of the plant has a different sound to it.
Weird.
Poor conditions for the plant results in a dark and down-tempo beat.
Weird. That's very interesting.
Here's a guy who took the each number 1 through 10, or 0 through 9, and assigned an instrument to it. And then he had a pi, the endless number, run through, and so each instrument.
3.1,
yep.
Whatever?
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't really seem like it'd be that melodic.
No.
But I guess you could look for patterns that way. It'd be easier to see feel patterns, hear patterns, rather than have to just look for it.
Yeah.
Here's one that might even be famous. Mickey Hart. You know that guy, right?
Yeah, from the Grateful Dead. Uh-huh.
And his band, he does weird stuff with percussions, right?
Drum Nation or uh-huh. something weird.
Yeah, he's using various data from the universe. In his songs, he uses audio samples rendered from the cosmic microwave background, supernovas, and other astronomical forms of events. And his new album, Mysterium Tremendum Volume 2, utilizes these sounds and blends it with musical styles like rock and trance.
Weird.
So, yeah, he's basically playing with the universe. And
planet drum.
Yeah. And another sonification lab turns historical and scientific data into music. He created a piece on tide readings in Venice. And says that the flute pitch is based on the wind direction, while the French horn is based on the temperature of the wind.
Fuck. That's weird, dude.
Yeah.
At first, when you started to talk about that, I thought you were going to talk about this new thing I heard about called binaural beats.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's supposed to be a kind of music that gets you high like drugs.
Oh, like the brown note kind of a thing?
I believe so.
Or like,
says here's how it works. When two tones of specific frequencies are played through headphones, the brain can become confused and produce its own imagined tone, a three-dimensional audio hallucination heard only within the head of the listener.
Okay, there. But I have to say, though, that it would be sloppy at best, because what's to say when I listen to that?
Right.
Because I would only have 10%, like, say, 10% of hearing versus 90.
Right.
You know, it'd be like going to a 3D movie with a wooden eye.
Yeah. This says, what is happening is that the brain is not used to hearing frequencies in each ear so close together with such intensity that these sounds do not occur in nature, so a mechanism in our brains has not evolved to understand them yet. The superior olivary nucleus, the area of our brain which controls aspects of three-dimensional sound perception, bridges the difference between the varying frequencies in a binaural beat with a common third tone and attempt to normalize this audio into something we can understand. What's weirder is that each person hears the third note differently. People with Parkinson's...
No, that's what I was saying, yeah, because my ears would be weird, you know, and somebody that would be deaf in one ear would only...
They say that some women will hear different tones on the same songs as they move through their menstrual cycle.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That would be a great way because then based on that, you would be able to transfer that over to relate it and find a man's cycle, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it says, do not listen to these beats while operating equipment or driving or any other task that requires concentration.
Oh, yeah.
So do you,
you would trance out, probably.
Do you have to concentrate when you do a podcast?
I'm going crazy. Is the note that you hear different than the note I hear, though?
Wow. That is weird.
We just made one that might be six notes. Or no, four notes. You got the two originals, and then we did two. So now that's quad. We just did
57.
Quad gnarl.
Hans, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
That's 45 minutes long. You can listen to it when you're going to sleep.
So is this something you learned from Hans?
No, I learned it from the internet.
Whoa!
Binaural beats. I just wanted to check it out because
it programmed your brain. I bet like
it
that,
said then. That it can get you high like drugs.
I bet you you could program your brain that way.
There's some stuff on YouTube you can check out if you guys are interested in it. Apparently, this song helps deep meditation. It'll help you sleep deeper, apparently.
They have all sorts of sound and note therapy type of stuff. That'll just be like an hour of one note or something that's supposed to make you feel a certain way.
They have some astral projection ones that you can maybe leave your body and go somewhere else for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This one's supposed to give you genius brain power.
I understand everything.
Did you know that the square root of 4,655,462.4 is 17? Those aren't even real numbers, dude. That made me stupider. Ouch!
I feel like the aliens are coming into my brain.
What you believe, you can't become. So that says Buddha.
This is kind of changing my mind. Suddenly I feel like the Dome season finale was all right.
Yeah. Big Jim Rennie, he's all right. He's not a bad guy. He's just trying to help the town. Barbie is the bad guy. I feel like I've
been... Stephen King is the bad guy.
Dude, I just found out that he released a book in 2006.
I just saw him on something.
Called something that I can't remember right now. And it's not in the Kindle. You can't get it on Amazon Kindle.
What are you talking about?
A book that came out by Stephen King.
It's on everything but the Kindle.
You can get it in a book.
You can even get it on a kitchen sink.
Nope. You can only get it in a book. A book. Like a book.
What's it called?
I can't remember.
That's a crazy name of a book.
It's not really the name of the book, though. It's a true fact that I cannot remember the name of the book. But I wanted... Oh, man.
Fuck. It's called something.
All right.
Oh, that's a weird name for a book. Something. But yeah, I just thought that odd that if it came out in 2006. Oh, it's called Back to Joyland. It just came to me.
Back to Joyland.
It's about an amusement park in North Carolina in 1973 that's supposed to have some murder that went down there. And it's like a true crime novel.
Ooh.
But not true.
A what?
Not true.
So it's like a true crime novel, but it's fictional. Fiction.
That's right. You got
what,
it.
What year did this come out?
2006.
Was it called The Secretary of Dreams?
No, it was called Back to Joyland.
That's not in this discography of
maybe it was a different Stephen King. It was on Amazon. There was one copy for $7.32 in average condition book. And so I said, hey, if it came out in 2006, it has to be on the Kindle. Nope.
Huh.
Kindle didn't come out, though, till what, 2008? 7, 9, 14? 2012?
probably 9, 8.
Yeah.
8 or 9.
But not the fucking Kindle HD Fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you familiar with the book Stephen King Goes to the Movies?
No.
From 2009?
It's not a real book.
It's on his book list.
Sabadow, wow, wow. What's a fake book, Mau Mau?
He goes to the movies.
I heard he got ran over on the way to the movies by a minivan. And then he wrote a book about it. He wrote a book about it. And then he fucked off. Just kidding.
I just thought he would turn into Leonard Maltin for a book. You know how every state has a tucky?
Spring tucky?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every state has a tucky?
Yeah, Kentucky's like the
that's not true.
The Springfield of the U.S.
Just because you put a tucky on the end of it doesn't mean that that's the name of the town.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you live in in Portland, you might call it Hills Tucky. Or some other, what's one of their...
Port Tucky.
Mm-hmm, or Beaver Tucky.
Salem Tucky.
Lake Oz Tucky.
Browns Tucky.
Mm-hmm.
Spring Tucky is my favorite one, I don't know why. West Spring Tucky. Springfield, Kentucky. Spring Tucky. I don't know.
Did you watch the new Simpsons, the first episode?
No, I'm...
All right,
no.
And then the Treehouse of Horror is going to be the second one.
I don't even watch it anymore.
And Guillermo del Toro, you like that guy?
From Weeds?
Guillermo del Toro.
From Weeds?
No, he's a director.
Oh, I thought you meant Guillermo from Weeds.
No. Guillermo.
That's the only Guillermo I know.
No, he's a director, and he did the couch gag for the Simpsons Treehouse. It's like he did an extended one. It's like 3 minutes long, but you can watch it on YouTube. It's actually pretty cool.
Right on.
There's a lot of references to old Treehouse of Horrors and one to The Shining.
Awesome.
Oh, that's where Stephen King was, because Bart's writing All Work and No Play on the track board thing, you know?
Yep.
And then it pans out and someone else is writing it all over the whole everything, who's in a lab coat, maybe a doctor-looking thing, huh?
Doctor Sleep.
And then it turns around, and it's Stephen King writing all over.
Ooh. Yep. Why do you think they think that ghosts go, ooh, are they old? Because, you know, old people kind of talk with a lot of vibrato, and they're always like maybe Catherine Hepburn.
That reminded me of an Impractical Jokers where they ran around scaring people in a bed store.
Ooh.
Sheets.
That's not scary to me. I don't know.
Because other what noise would they make? That would be more ghostly than that. Maybe a...
Or...
But that wouldn't be scary either, though.
Or like metal scraping on metal.
Yeah.
That, why is that a ghost? I don't know.
Just or because... maybe a chalkboard... nail scratching.
I recently rewatched Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Uh-huh.
lot more, I didn't remember it being so bloody and gruesome.
Huh.
He stabbed the shit out of them people.
Yeah.
Michael Myers was a dick.
It wasn't very cool.
He liked to wear a Kiss shirt.
Hmm. And, and the William Shatner mask.
Yeah, first he had a regular, like, little clown mask. That was like mm-hmm. one of those plastic ones with a string that breaks after the third time you wear it.
Yeah.
And then when after he killed the boyfriend, his sister's boyfriend downstairs, and I didn't see, I guess his stepdad must have been super drunk, passed out on the recliner because he got him all duct taped to the couch or the recliner. But And I hadn't watched it since I'd watched Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses a couple times. That was the sheriff was the boyfriend on Halloween. Everybody was in there except for Bill Moseley. Where's Bill Moseley?
He was on vacation that year.
And I've been hearing mixed responses about the new zombie movie called Lords of Salem.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
I want to see it, but I don't know how. Red box.
Maybe.
Rob Zombie box.
Box. It's not available online anywhere?
1, 2, 3, lockbox. I don't got no lines right now.
That's right.
I'm lineless, but it's coming up soon, because that's what I've been told. I'm not paying for it, but somebody's supposed to.
I got some, we're going to talk about Stephen King, that book, Stephen King Goes to the Movies.
Okay.
Here's some reviews.
By Stephen?
Nope, these are some reviews. 5 stars, 98% previously published fiction repackaged around a movie theme. That person gave it 5 stars. Here's one that goes, I'm struggling to understand why this book exists.
Okay.
And then another one says, I feel totally duped for buying this book.
Do they ever say what the book is about? It's obviously not Stephen King actually going to the movies.
Yeah, this guy gave it 1 star. He said, I was psyched when I saw this at the book. These aren't full reviews. These are like the first half a sentence.
Dude, I was going, these are shitty reviews. I enjoyed it.
I don't know what the book is about, though. Well, let me see if I can find out. It sounds like it's 98% previously published fiction repackaged around a movie theme.
Yeah, but isn't it? It's not written by Stephen King, is it?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that you're going to tell me that you mean to tell me that you're going to tell me that you're telling me that Stephen King is going to tell me that you're telling me that he's going to write a book with his own name in the title? Is that what you're telling me?
Yep, and the product description says, Stephen King revisits 5 of his favorite short stories that... dot, dot, dot.
That went on to become movies in the theaters or on television. That's my guess. But not exactly in that wording. Because I'm not a fucking psychic like Dan Torrance.
Mm. It sounds like he just repackaged 98% of some material.
And put it in a movie format? Well, I'm not going to get that book then.
Okay. 5 of his short stories that have been turned into films. He revisits Shawshank Redemption.
Good one.
And he revisits Children of the Corn, which was a short story.
He revisits them?
And then... he revisits The Mangler.
Does he write that? That started Robert Englund also from Freddy Krueger fame.
And Hearts of Atlantis.
That starred...
based on Low Men and Yellow Coats.
I loved that book. It was actually pretty cool. But that starred Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
And then it has new commentary and introductions to all these stories and a treasure trove of movie trivia. So I guess he talks about the books being made Do you know what novel of Stephen King's was a top 10 book of 2010 or 2011 by the NYT Book Review and won the Los Angeles Times Book Prize for Mystery Thriller?
Duma Key?
11/22/63.
Oh, fuck that. That's about Kennedy bullshit.
Oh.
That was the day Kennedy was shot.
Did you know he...
By the driver.
He won the National Book Foundation Medal for Distinguished Contribution to American Letters in 2003.
I did not know that.
Hmm. Did you know he killed his wife, Tabitha?
That is not true.
Oh, okay.
Someone was talking to me about the Kennedy assassination the other day, saying they watched a new documentary.
That was me.
No way.
Yeah.
So the driver shot him right in the face?
Uh-huh.
No. Well, someone else was talking to me about it, too.
Right on.
I think it was Jared Johnson.
Cool. He's watching the same show as I am.
I guess they must replay it.
Yeah, it was on, like, History 2, one of those channels that, well, they're just showing ancient aliens most of the time.
Oh. I think I'm kind of high off the Dave Quill.
Mm-hmm.
I've been drinking it for days.
Yeah. What did he say about the documentary? What was he rapping on about?
He was just amazed that he hadn't, no one had seen this footage before.
I was surprised that I'd never seen that because I've seen the fucking thing driving him go with his head 100 times. But yeah. I'd never seen the skin fucking mushrooming around the fucking gunshot wound before.
Ooh.
That was pretty fucking brutal.
Mushrooms.
I mean, and then in that image you also see like Jackie O, you know, just like fucking freaked out. I mean, there's no question he's fucking dead. He was killed.
Half
his head was blown off, literally.
I had forgot that old Danny Trejo was in that Halloween movie.
Ah, he was also in the JFK assassination.
And what? The Devil's he was a second shooter on the grassy mole.
He was. He's old enough, man. He was probably about 40 at the time.
Probably. Holy shit.
You going to go and watch Machete Kills again?
I'm not going to go, but I'm going to wait for it to come to me, probably.
I haven't seen the first one yet.
I did.
Was it worth watching again?
Again? Yeah, because I don't remember it. I just remember it was just like all those other movies. It was just about some shit and some killing went down. And
Charlie Sheen's in this new one, right? Something?
Possibly. I do not recall.
I do cocaine.
Dude, are you sure you didn't take some NyQuil?
No, it was Dake.
Wow.
Dave Quill. Dave. I took twice as much as I was supposed to, though. Four tables worth.
That's much less than a tea worth.
It's hard to fill up the table at my house. I don't know about you. I had to put stuff all around the edge of it so it wasn't pouring off the table. And then I had to have my kids like tip the table up and dump it in my mouth. Four tables later, I'm a little bit delirious.
You ever make an omelet?
Yep. I have trouble making omelets.
All right. I watched a show called Cutthroat Kitchen.
They never flip right for me, and they always just fall apart, and I end up with a big old scrambled mess of ham and cheese and eggs, which is always good, though.
Which is, the guy had to make his omelet on the back side of the pan.
I can't, whatever, dude. What a show off. I can't even make it on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Dude, why are you flipping it?
You gotta.
You don't flip the omelet.
You fold it. You gotta fold half over onto it, don't you?
Nope.
Okay, how do you do it?
You just turn it down really low to where you don't have to flip it. You mean flip it over in half to make it look like a taco omelet?
Yeah. You just leave it an open face omelet?
No. That's all in removing it from the pan to your plate.
No.
Because you put all the toppings on one side, right?
Right.
And then you go, and when you slide it off the pan onto the plate, the heavy side first with all the toppings, right? Uh-huh. And then you use the pan to kind of go flip and take that egg thing and flip it over.
Are you fucking kidding
me? When you're playing it.
You ever watched, you ever watched a guy from the Hot Cake House make an omelet?
No. I'm not that good at making omelets either. You have to take some patience to make a good omelet.
Yeah. You have to be a good doctor to be a good omelet. Mm-hmm.
Just keep it as low as you can. Just keep the heat low.
He puts it on a grill because he's cooking everything on a grill. That's a grill. So he puts the eggs on there, probably about 5 eggs.
Uh-huh.
and just spreads it out as far as it'll go, as thin as it'll go.
Yeah. And cook then it puts, as fast as you can.
And then he like puts all the ingredients in it, and then he just flips it and rolls it like a burrito.
Yeah, yeah. That's because I watched in so many cooking shows that because I used to cook the one side, and then you flip it and cook the other side, and then you put everything in, you know, the side that's done. But I watched so many shows, and they never flip their
Yeah, I never flipped it, but I was talking about folding it shut.
So I just turn it really low, and then just wait until it cooks, and then, you know, by the time the cheese is melted, the eggs got to be cooked.
Yeah.
You know, if the cheese is melted. So, you know, you figure it's done. But a lot of it is how you put the ingredients in there of when you flip it over. Because if you put ingredients over the whole thing, then you're going to have to all that weight when you're flipping it in half, you know?
Right.
So, or, you know, a lot of the burrito people, they just put it in the middle. And so you can flop that one over, you know, even in the pan. And then they do that thing, too, where they'll just slide off the heavy part into the onto your serving plate and flip with the pan.
Flip.
That last flap.
Flip flap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't ever really been able to make a good omelet.
You just get. I just spent a couple weeks making one a day in the morning. Just like make it a point, like I'm gonna make an omelet. But you know, you don't want to eat a 3-egg omelet every day. That's probably not good. So you just make 1-egg omelets, and so you have this really thin thing, you know, with maybe just a little bit of cheese.
You can make a 1-egg omelet.
It's really fucking thin. If you use a big pan.
That one place that I was talking about, the hotcake house, says, we don't count our eggs.
They just have that big old egg vat, right?
Like, and they then got it in like a
probably
thing.
Just, yeah.
They just pour it out.
Yeah. Yeah, but that makes sense, because
that guy got a bigger fucking omelet than me.
The quicker it's going to cook and the less rubbery it's going to be, I think, because of that. But also,
and even though it gets thin, he rolls it, and so it, like, there's layers of fresh.
That's the thing too. Is if you pay attention during the first part of making the omelet, what you want to do is you don't want to just leave it in there. You want to constantly be stirring it to like so you're letting all the liquid from the top touch the pan,
right?
Until it starts getting the clumps in there, you'll start like almost making scrambled eggs. But then as soon as like right when you know, it'll just form the thing and the surface. And so your eggs are half cooked by the time you start forming the omelet.
Right. And this has been your food lesson today for cooking omelets with the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
Cooking omelets, they say, even the experts say, is
not
the ultimate test of a cook. Because it's the easiest thing to make, but the hardest thing to make well.
Well, I can make them shitty. I know that. And they still taste all right, but they're not pleasant to look at.
You put milk in there? A little bit of milk?
In the eggs when I'm mixing it up, yeah. Same as I do with
that'll make them a little bit fluffy.
Little French
toast. If you have a bad omelet, though, and it doesn't turn out, man, you just end up with a nice egg, cheese, and
pile of goodness.
Yeah, you know, it's just a breakfast scramble then.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're cooking at a restaurant, it doesn't matter.
And who doesn't like a good breakfast scramble?
Oh, man.
I mean, Jesus.
You know, I like a good one with pineapple or ham and pineapple. I guess that's double pineapple.
That sounds Hawaiian.
It is. It's good, though. You got some mozzarella in there.
I saw a shadow on the window, but I thought it was a tree. I think I'm wasted on Dave Quill. Do you
I always get tripped out by the trees.
I get tripped out by Dave Quill. Ozzy, knock it off. You don't buy me birthday cake, Ozzy.
Are they divorced now, or did she just come out talking about some old separation they had?
She was probably talking about an old separation they had.
She came out with a third autobiography recently.
Sharon?
Third.
Sharon?
Yeah.
Third.
How?
Sharon? Third.
How many fucking autobiographies do you need?
Four. I would say four. Happy birthday to the four autobiography. Not yet, but she's going to write at least one more. Band manager causing trouble for the drummer. I mean, he was probably more wasted than I am right now.
Uh-huh.
How old do you think Sharon Olsbourne is?
Oh, Jesus. Well...
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to go 64.
Okay.
I wanted to say 63, but...
You should have said 61.
Oh, but those man. Were both she's pretty youngin'.
Cool. Yeah, she's just a youngin'. Also, related to these guys jamming in the background, Sean Ono Lennon. Birthday today.
Sean Lennon?
Sean Lennon, hump day. Birthday today. How old do you think? He's not as old as me, even. Or he is right about, let's see.
That's his youngest, right, with Yoko?
Yeah, I think he's...
As opposed to Julian.
Yeah, it's not Julian.
So he didn't really know his father. He's only like two or three, right, at the time of...
He's four. Oh, I just gave away his...
All right.
He's your age.
Yeah, right on.
38. Cool. Happy birthday, Sean Lennon.
And, it's...
And this comedian has a birthday, and I had no idea he was this old. I guess because he's immature, I thought he was younger. Nick Swardson, former gay boy on Reno 911, and I don't hate his stand-up, but I don't really love it.
I'm not a big fan of Nick Swardson's. Matt Thiel, I don't know if he's a regular listener, he'd be a huge fan of Nick Swardson's.
All right.
I like Pretend Time, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, that was not
you know,
bad.
I like his skit stuff and his characters that he does, but not so much his stand-up, you know.
Yeah.
But
he reminds me of a jar-headed jock type of guy.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. Yeah. Yeah, he's ambiguously.
And he's only 37.
He's ambiguous, too.
37. I thought he was younger than that.
He jokes about whether or not, or he jokes about people thinking he's gay, but he never gives it away of whether he's straight or gay.
Right. Never talks about having a girlfriend.
No, he talks about it in his act, how people don't know whether he's gay or not, and then he just never really says.
Kind of like Daniel Tosh, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fuck,
which
man.
Daniel Tosh I hate to find funny,
yeah.
But I do.
Well, you know, yeah.
I know he's got a team of writers, but the skits that he does on his shows is what really makes me laugh.
Yeah.
When he brings, like, the web redemptions out.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the people are in on it with him most
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, playing
I think.
Along.
Yeah, you know, and set up for a good comedy bit too, which is, you know, he does some funny things, but
yep, there's better.
Yes.
Also in the comedy world, and he's making his way up. I've been talking about him for the last couple weeks because he got a job when he moved to L.A. Mm-hmm. Ian Carmel, birthday today.
Nice, happy birthday, Ian Carmel.
Only 29, and he's a full-time writer now at the Chelsea Lately Show, which is
I'm wondering, when is that guy and Ron Funch is going to get their own podcast going?
They used to do stuff in Portland all the time.
I know. Now that they live in the same town, they should connect up again and do like a little, even if it's a once-a-month podcast.
Yeah, I know they're both pretty busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Funch's and Carmel Show.
Well, they should get together and do something. That'd be fun. Even if it's, why doesn't...
Because Funches kind of sounds like Fudge.
Why doesn't Carmel use his poll get fucking Funches on Chelsea Lately?
I don't know who's bigger.
And why doesn't Funches use his poll to get fucking Carmel some Disney voice gigs?
Yeah, he's good at voices. I don't know.
They could trade off gigs.
Maybe
you know?
They're mad at each other.
No, that's awesome that two Portland-based guys have made the successful move down there and are doing awesome.
Yeah, within a small period of time,
yeah.
I was kind of blown away.
The old Bridgetown comedy thing.
Funches has been down there for over a year now, but
still.
Carmel landed a job in 3 days.
It's a big town with not a lot of, you know, market, I guess.
And I know they've took that next step to where they all have agents and managers and all that stuff.
They're going to say they had AIDS.
No, they all have AIDS. That's why. That's why they live in
Magic Johnson's house.
Yeah, and then I know that Nathan Brannon, who was also a recent winner of the Portland's Funniest Person thing, he was making up a tape, and Christine Levine said, "I smell a late night audition tape for he'll try to go on Conan or Fallon or something like
that." Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, I don't really think that he should probably have a show.
Why?
I don't know. I shouldn't be judgmental, but I've heard that it's not very good.
He's got the same set as his old show and everything. So
yeah.
It's like, and since it's on,
do they go
on CW?
Dog Pound?
I haven't seen much of that, but since he had it's on CW. It has that old early '90s camera stunt because that's what they can afford.
Yeah.
And so it's like watching 1991 reruns.
It's kind of cool, but they're talking about the future.
It's, what, when I see it, it reminds me that late night talk show is all about what guests are going to be on that night.
Yeah.
Because there's so many options. You know, you got the Kimmel, and other than Leno, pretty much I'll watch any of them, really, if it's the guest is right.
Right.
I tried to watch Arsenio when Giancarlo Esposito's on there, you know, from Breaking Bad.
Right. You tried to, or you did?
I did, kind of in the background, but it's not really that funny. But Arsenio's got the things to do, like, you know, he can dress up and look like a grandpa and give grandpa advice like he does in little skits that aren't really funny, but they could be.
Exactly.
They have potential, and, you know, I mean, I don't know.
But also lack of.
What else
the same
does
time?
The CW have to fucking play at that time of night? I guess that's the opposite take on your he shouldn't have a show is me saying.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
What else does CW have to
play? I didn't even know it was Vampire on that Diaries. Crappy station.
I don't know.
That's a terrible station. They always have terrible shows.
You ever check out that Sleepy Hollow?
No, I haven't got a chance to yet.
Yeah.
Should I?
I don't know.
Okay, I won't.
I saw somebody comment on a show the other day about why couldn't some main character be black in a show? Why did it have to be a white woman? It's like, what does that even have to do with anything?
No, they just hate racism.
And so I commented back. I said, why isn't she headless? There's only one show that has a headless lead.
Yeah. That's bullshit.
I know. Why can't she just be headless?
There should be more shows with headless people in them, because I think that's racist against headless people.
It is.
That's bullshit.
What's in Hans's CD player?
Hans, you got a head?
What's in Hans's CD player?
So you get head? Oh, wait. That's for peeing out of. That's what it's just for peeing out of. Hey, Al, how you doing?
Al.
Hans's?
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 Do you ever see Al on Facebook?
Nope. I think he's deactivated. No, I just don't think he's on there. I don't know what he's doing. All right, Hans is listening to a band that I have this CD. It's a burnt CD, but it's still awesome. And I was playing it in my CD player like a year ago, maybe less. I don't know. The time flies here at the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. I like saying this name just because it's kind of funny. The band's called Asuck. That's one word.
A suck.
You could say a suck. A-S-S-U-C-K. And he's listened to the album called Misery Index. And that is the name of a death metal band nowadays, which I believe took their name from that Asuck album.
Nice.
Because what's a misery index? Nothing.
Hmm. There's a band called Shit that is kind of like anal cunt.
There's a few.
A few bands named Shit?
Yeah, the dude from Atheorcus had a band for a while called Shit.
Maybe it's called something else.
Hmm. With Shit with a little eye. A little brown hole. Huh. A little brown eye.
Off the
that'd be funny
out.
If they made their letters black and then the eye was brown.
Ah!
Look, your name has a little brown eye in it. You're like, yeah, we're called Shit.
Is that what the gag was?
No, I just made that up because I'm awesome.
I was listening to Deep Blue Something.
Really?
That was the name of the band who did that song Breakfast at Tiffany's. I was not listening to it, but I just saved it for this.
You
second.
Thought about it.
Well, I wrote it down earlier, and I thought, what a great time to bring it up would be that thing.
I was listening to a tape. What's in Terry's cassette player?
Uh-huh. What is in there?
It was
Tad Inhaler. Yeah.
Nope.
Oh.
I have that on CD.
A deeper cut.
Yep, earlier, Sub Pop tape. Eight-Way Santa.
Nice.
Which I believe is a form of acid.
Hmm.
You like four-way window pane?
Mm-hmm.
You got Eight-Way Santa. Don't take the whole square, because that's like eight times fun.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's a great album from, I think, 90, maybe even 89, early, Deep Cut. That's right,
yeah.
Deep Cut. And you know what I heard?
Huh.
Cows. Gotcha. No, the dude from Tad Doyle, and Mike Scheit from Yob have a new band together. What? He's just getting everybody.
That's cool. What are they called?
I can't remember, but I'll tell everybody on Friday because I'll look it up. But yeah.
What is Tad Doyle? He's just a singer mostly, right?
He played guitar.
Oh, did he?
Actually,
so is it
he plays
a guitar
everything.
Band?
I don't know.
Huh.
There's more people in it than just them, but yeah.
Oh.
You know, to be honest, he's an all-around musician guy. The first Tad demo was all him.
Oh.
And then he was just going to release it, and the people from Sub Pop said, dude, you gotta make a band and play this shit live. It's too good. It's too good.
Yeah.
And so he assembled a band, and the rest, as they say, is historical.
History.
Well, I'm kind of hungry. We got an hour under our belt. You know, I didn't notice that we had an hour and a half show the other day on Friday. And then the one before that was like, was it an hour and 50 minutes?
The Friday one was, yeah.
What the fuck happened?
Well, we recorded it on a separate day. And so... I don't remember it being that long.
That's
when
what
I looked
said,
at the recorder, and I remember looking confused because it said like an hour 41, and that's when I said, have we...
been going for an hour and a half? I was like, no way.
Yeah.
But it was. It was mm-hmm. like an hour and 49 minutes.
Yeah, and then we capped the ending on there of the little skit thing.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. So, yeah, we're going to go get some pizza now, and I'm going to go blow my nose. I'm having a stuffy hump day. It's a hump stuff. Listen to that.
Yeah.
I'm closing the curtains.
Listen, oh, man. Paper towels around here somewhere.
I can't do my dinosaur roar now.
No.
That's what my godson always does. He'll wake up with a stuffy nose and go, can't do dinosaur. Well, normally it's like, I guess you can't. That's weird. He realized that you can't do that. You can't do it with a stuffy nose. It's a nose rattle.
I like to do a dinosaur in the morning.
Sometimes he'll wake up and before he's even said, his eyes are even open, he'll be like, we beat the bad guys on Mario Brothers. It's like, dude, no. When you're complaining about not getting to play it as you're falling asleep and you're waking up requesting it, we got to take a day off, dude.
Yep.
You're
yep.
fucked up. That's too much video games. God. Yeah, maybe if I get out in the sunshine. I know it's probably raining where anybody is that they're listening right now, but during this last episode, my nose got all plugged up.
It's sunny everywhere right now.
It's sunny in Philadelphia.
Hey-o.
My dad actually likes that show.
How come every time I watch that show in reruns, it's always the same fucking episode?
Dude, there's a weird phenomenon that goes on. Like, that happens to me with... like,
I've only seen, like, six episodes, but I swear I try to watch it all the time.
Raymond. yep. King of Queens. You just happen to be flipping through your channel. I haven't seen this show very much, but I've seen this episode.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. It's like they know when you're going to flip through, and they're like, hey, Gatch is coming. He never watches the show. Let's put this episode on today.
It's aliens, dude. It's all about the aliens. It's what
they... Alf.
Yep.
Every time I see Alf, it's always the same episode. You guys should go watch some Alf. You can get it on Netflix. Hulu.
Still funny.
Still funny. And it's a cartoon. Or no, I mean, it's a puppet. Something. I still can't think straight. I'm going to go drink some more Dave Quill. You guys have a wonderful hump day, and we'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, right on.
And sticks. Never mind. I'm delirious. Metal. Sick of this shit. October 10th through 13th, it's Following the Darkness Festival with Orange Goblin on the 11th at Mississippi Studios in Portland. It's 4 days from Thursday through Saturday and Sunday too. Also, October 11th, Diamond Head and Raven at the Hawthorne Theater with our friends in the Nether Regions opening up. They're from the Pubic area. October 13th, Creator and Overkill at the Hawthorne Theater. The next night, Dave Chappelle at McDonald Theater in Eugene. He's going to have a breakdown on stage. That's October 14th. I don't guarantee it, though. Okay, October 15th, Guar and White Chapel. Who knows, maybe they'll do a Billy Ocean cover. That's up in Portland on the 15th of October. On my daughter's birthday, October 17th, it's Deicide and Broken Hope. I think I'll take her to that since she's going to be having a baby in like 2 days after that. Deicide's good for inducing labor. Hawthorne Theater, $20 in advance, $25 at the door. I'm going to take a break now. October 19th, Sick Man Bikini and Slow Motion Pornography at the Dix Creek Saloon for the second annual Willamette Valley local music scenes second anniversary freaking party thing. I don't even know what it's called, but it's free. Starts at 9 o'clock at the Dixie Creek Saloon in Tangent. October 26th at Sam Bond's Garage. That's a Saturday night. It's kind of in the afternoon, late afternoon. 5 o'clock early show at Sam Bond's Garage. 4th and Blair and Eugene. Bleeping funny, where us comics bleep ourselves so you don't fucking have to. I won't be saying that word there. November 5th, Rob Zombie and Korn at the Yakima, Washington Yakima thing. It's a place in Yakima that has concerts. I don't know what it's called, so you'll have to look it up. November 11th, Lamb of God, Testament, and Killswitch Engage at Kent, Washington thingamajigger, place where they have concerts. Don't know where that is either, because I'm delirious. Okay, here's what I wanted to get to. Let me pull back the curtain. November 26th, Morbid Angel and our friends in World of Lies will be opening the show. That's like a Thursday night, but that's okay. It's Morbid Angel. You want to go. They're going to be playing their complete 94 release Covenant in its entirety. Maybe it was 93 because it's a 20-year anniversary thing. So they're going to play that album all the way through. They're going to take a break and come back and play some more. Seasons of Suffering will be opening too. They're from Bend. So local bands getting to open for Morbid Angel. That's kind of cool. Pearl Jam's playing the Rose Garden. Tickets are probably $5 million, and you'll be like 8 miles from the stage. So you should go see that November 29th. And then January 17th in 2014, Dirty Rotten Imbeciles coming back to Portland. I believe it's at the Hawthorne Theater. You got lots of time to check it out because that's a ways off. World of Lies is also opening that show. Snagging all the good opening slots. How are you doing that, Tony? I don't know. Okay, I'm going to go home and blow my head off.
I'd like to strongly advise, I would like to strongly encourage you to purchase your tickets by the May 6th deadline.
Oh, for what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And if you don't, you're not going to get tickets.
Yep.
Because you got to beat that deadline. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for listening to the shoe. Please put it back on because it stinks in here. See how delirious I am? Dave Quill. We'll talk to you guys on the next day that you listen to us. Okay, thanks, bye. Love you. Frank, quit playing a solo now. See, I talked fast on that one. I'm already done. Fade it out.